Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Mark's, I think you've read all of these verses now, but we will read them again. This is what Jesus says. He's just said, of course, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth. Store up for yourself treasures in heaven. And therefore, verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Thank you. This is the word of the Lord. So in February 2021, what's that, just barely 18 months ago, 29-year-old Roy invested 2,500 euros in a range of cryptocurrencies. And soon he was really excited to see the value of his portfolio rise. It climbed first to 8,000. Then to 100,000, and it soared right up to 525,000 euros. I thought I was on top of the world, Roy says. Money would fix every single problem I faced from now on. But then, the market did what markets do. It crashed, and now his portfolio is worth 300 euros. It felt like I had lost my life, says Roy. Because I had invested everything in crypto, I had built every dream I had on there. What would Jesus say to Roy, I wonder? You know, the central thrust of this passage really couldn't be clearer, could it? Jesus says, do not worry. Don't worry. Don't be consumed by anxiety for life's basic needs. And that's what he's particularly talking about here. There are people we know, many people we know, who experience anxiety in all kinds of areas of life to the detriment of their mental health, and not necessarily because they're worried about the basic needs of life. Well, there are particular challenges for those who experience that. I'm not going to say this passage is not talking to them, because I think it has very important principles to say to us all. But I think it's important that we note that Jesus is talking about worry for those basic things here: what we eat, what we drink, what we wear. That's what he's talking about. Don't be consumed by anxiety for those things. Now you might be thinking, well, you know, hasn't Jesus seen the current rate of inflation? Has nobody told Jesus about the huge hike in fuel prices? Not to mention, whatever your own personal concerns might be, maybe you have serious health issues and concerns about how you can earn a living with those. Come on, Jesus, get real, you might be tempted to say. Now, the first thing we must note about this passage is, of course, that first word, the therefore. Verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. It follows on, of course, from what Jesus has just said and from from what we heard from Tom last week, verses 19 to 24. Don't hoard earthly treasures. Why? Because they don't last. Moth and vermin, or moth and rust, if you've got the older version of the NIV, they won't last. Ask Roy. Ask Crypto Roy. His treasures disappeared very quickly. Store up instead heavenly treasure. Focus on those. Focus on them. Decide which of those two masters, God and money, or God and mammon, God and material things, God and the other false gods that we tend to build up, which of those are you going to serve? Because you cannot serve both. It's what Jesus said. We heard last week. Now that's pretty binary, isn't it? You can't serve both God or material things. Which one is it going to be? You can't be somewhere in between. It's a very stark choice Jesus has given us. In fact, Jesus has divided us up, all of us up, into two groups here. Those who store up treasures on earth and those who store up treasures in heaven. Those who chase material things and serve false gods, ultimately. And those who serve the true God. And the bit that follows the therefore, the bit that we're looking at today, actually only applies to one of those groups. The therefore applies to the one who is storing up treasure in heaven. Which means, if you are storing up treasure on earth, then frankly, go ahead. Worry. You really should be worrying if you're storing up treasure on earth. You should be worried because these things don't last. Jesus has said it. And they certainly don't deliver security. They don't even deliver satisfaction. Ask the millionaires and the billionaires. They'll always be wanting a little bit more. These things leave you high and dry. So if you're not storing up treasures on heaven, worry. If you're not a Christian this morning, if you're not following Jesus, I'll be honest with you. I have to be honest with you. As we face this cost of living crisis, Jesus has no words of comfort for you. He has no words of comfort for you. But of course, there is absolutely nothing to stop you turning around and changing which camp you are in. There's nothing to stop you turning to him right now, putting your trust in Jesus right now. And if you do that, in which case, Jesus suddenly has many, many, many words of comfort for you. He does. He has words of hope, and he has words of life, and he has words of love. And then he says to you, don't worry. Don't worry about that other stuff. I've got it. You seek me. So why shouldn't the believer worry about these things? Well, first of all, he tells us worry is unnecessary. Verse 25, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Now, this is an argument, we might say, from the greater to the lesser. God has given us life. He's given us the gift of life itself. And more than physical life, moreover, we might say, those of us who've come to trust in Jesus, he's given us spiritual life. He's given us true life in Christ himself. And food and drink and clothing, they're much smaller concerns, actually. As Paul says elsewhere in Romans, this is Romans 8:32, I forgot to put the reference on there. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? That's wonderfully true. And having argued from the greater to the lesser, he then turns it around and he argues from the lesser to the greater. Look at the birds of the air, he says. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? If our heavenly Father provides for the birds, surely he'll provide for his children who are far more valuable to him. That's his argument. Now, I've just had a couple of weeks on the Welsh coast, various parts of the Welsh coast, and I saw lots of one of my very favourite birds. I love these. These are, you know what these are? These are choughs. You can get them with red bills or yellow bills. I was seeing the red ones, the red-billed choughs, and they're wonderful. They're so full of personality. They're kind of, they don't have striking plumage, but they're very acrobatic. They swoop and dive and go all over the place, and they're so busy. They're busy looking for food all over and chuffing away to each other, which is where the name comes from. And this makes me think, as I watch those choughs, Jesus is not advocating a lazy lifestyle here. Birds are not lazy. They're busy. And they have to find their food, don't they? They spend their days finding food. Now, they don't, they're working hard. They're earning their keep, these birds. But although they're busy, they don't have to store it away. They don't have big barns to take their stuff home and store it away because they're worried about the next day and the day, just to make sure I've got enough to, you know, last me 6 months in my bank account just in case, you know, things go wrong. They don't worry about that. They've just got, they go from day to day sorting things out, being busy, getting their food, and that's how God provides for them. They're not worried about the future. And so Jesus' point is not be lazy. His point is, if the Lord looks after these, how much more should we have confidence in the Lord to look after us? Not consumed by worry about what may happen down the road. No need to hoard away in barns, because he'll look after us. If we're seeking his treasure, he will look after us. And then verse 28 to 30, why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. These aren't lilies, these are poppies. Wildflowers. There's all kinds of suggestions from the scholars about what flowers Jesus actually had in mind here. So I've gone for poppies because nobody can tell me any better. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. I've gone for poppies because my wife likes poppies. So there we go. But they're beautiful, aren't they? And you see these wildflowers. And nowadays we have these verges of wildflowers, don't we? Aren't they beautiful? Aren't they amazing when you drive along and you suddenly see? And it is what I remember from the 2012 Olympics, actually, was on that site, the Olympic Park, was all those wildflowers. Well, they weren't wild, of course, they'd been sown. But all those beautiful flowers, beautiful. And wonderful. But these flowers, if the birds don't hoard, we said the birds were busy. Well, the wildflowers don't even work, do they? Actually, they just grow. I mean, I guess they work because they grow. Their cells are busy, aren't they? But they're beautifully adorned, even though they're soon gone. And this is the point Jesus is making here. They're here today, gone tomorrow. And yet God cares about what they look like. That's an amazing thought, isn't it? Now, our lives, well, yes, many of us will feel our lives are dashing past pretty quickly. Shoo! That was it. That was my life. But we last a lot longer than these birds. And actually, this is the point, our lives in Christ are eternal. And so again, if God provides for the flowers, how much more will he provide for us? How much more? So that's why worry is unnecessary. The Lord will provide for us. Secondly, worry is ineffective. Verse 27, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? I don't know if you've seen this film, Bridge of Spies. Good film. Anyone seen it? One or two. Yeah. It's great. Tom Hanks, two great actors, Tom Hanks and Mark Rylance, at the tops of their game, at the top of their games. Tom Hanks is a lawyer, and he has to find himself having to represent a man who has been accused of spying. This is post-war, you know, Cold War. This man, despite being in danger of being executed for spying, he remains perfectly calm, perfectly unruffled. And at one point, after spelling out the situation to him, Hank says to him, Hank says to him, "You don't seem alarmed." To which he replies, "Would it help?" That's right, Martin, thank you for that. Yeah. Would it help? And then, you know, later on, I don't want to give too much away, but later on Hank says to him, "You know, are you not concerned that if you hand you over back to the Russians, they'll shoot you? Are you not concerned?" Same reply. Would it help? We cannot add a single hour to our lives by worrying. I suspect many of us have tried, haven't we? A single span, it actually says, the original, which could possibly mean a single unit of height. We could not add a single centimeter to our height by worrying. As a little boy, it was my great ambition in life to be 6 foot tall. Now you laugh, but I've achieved it to the nearest foot. I'm 6 foot tall. There you go. Now, when I was at university, one of the first friends I made, and one of my closest friends, was a chap also called Graham. But unfortunately, Graham was 6 foot three. And I wasn't. So as we went round together, of course, he was known as Big Graham. And interestingly, I wasn't known as average-sized Graham. I was known as Little Graham, which is not good for my self-esteem. But I can't change my height, either through the power of positive thinking, and certainly not through excessive worry. It would make no difference, would it? Worry doesn't help, does it? It doesn't. It just gnaws at our souls. So worry is ineffective. Thirdly, worry is incompatible with Christian faith. He says verse 30, doesn't he? And you could read this in different tones. You could read this in a scolding tone. "Oh, ye of little faith." Or you could read it more gently, more understanding. And I don't know. I wasn't there. But I suspect that is how Jesus says it. Kind of just a gentle shake of the head. He understands. He understands how frail we are. He understands how wobbly our faith gets. And so he says, you know, don't worry. God's going to clothe you, O ye of little faith. Don't worry about it. He'll do it. It is faith. If we have faith, if we've come to faith in Christ, then we're trusting God for our very lives. We're trusting what he's said about himself and about us and about what he's done in Christ. We're trusting that he knows best and that we don't, because we certainly wouldn't come to him otherwise. We're trusting that he wants our best, or we certainly wouldn't come to him. And so if we trust all that, if we have faith that God wants our absolute best to the point of giving his son so that we can live, it makes no logical sense. It's not consistent with that to worry. It's not consistent with faith. Worry stems from unbelief. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? And we know we often tussle between belief and unbelief in ourselves. Worry stems from unbelief and pulls us further towards unbelief. If you're a pagan, of course, by which he means, I mean, he's talking to people, you know, Jews, so they'd be thinking Gentiles, people who do not know the one true God. That's who the pagans are. They don't know the one true God. Well, it's different for them, verse 32, because You see, they don't have anyone looking after them. That's the point. Again, he's not scolding the pagans particularly. The pagans are saying, what should we eat, what should we drink, what should we wear? The pagans run after these things. Your heavenly Father knows you need them. His point is, the pagans don't know that they've got a heavenly Father looking after them. But they don't know that because it's not true until they put their trust in Christ. He is not their heavenly Father. That's why the people who don't know the one true God have to be concerned about these things. But those who are trusting in him. So once again, I say, if you don't believe in the one true God, then of course you'll worry. In fact, you should worry. Who's looking after you? Have you got it covered? Really? Who's looking after you? Where's your trust? The false gods we trust in. And we all have false gods, even if we think we're going our own way, ploughing our own furrow. The false gods we trust in, they can neither deliver, they can deliver neither eternal security or daily provision. They just can't do it. They're just things. Just lumps of wood or stone or precious metal. Can't do it. And maybe your false god is a relationship that you've piled everything on. You've forsaken all for this relationship. Well, you know, if that relationship is with a human being, they cannot deliver. They cannot be your savior. So don't make them your Lord. And so Jesus says memorably, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. We're going to zoom in on this verse next time, actually, so I'm not going to say too much about that, only I'll reflect on it a little bit. But Jesus concludes in verse 34, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This seems almost sardonic, doesn't it? A kind of world weary, you know. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Maybe there's a bit of a twinkle in Jesus' eyes. He says this, take one day at a time. That's enough to think about. Don't try to plan so far ahead. It's easy to say that. That seems crazy in our lifetime when, you know, if we want to make an appointment to go out, you know, to see each other or whatever, we have to get out our diaries and look several months down the road. That's what Jesus says, take one day at a time. Don't try to plan so far ahead that you feel you've covered all the bases. That's the issue. We can't cover all the bases. We can't. We have to leave it to him. We are not in control. That's a scary thought for many of us, isn't it? We are not in control. He is. And that's the secret of our peace and our sense of well-being. It's our need to feel in control that drives this worry and that this wanting to get everything sorted. But that is God's job, not yours. But I like this verse 34. I like it for many reasons. I like it because it does ground Jesus' words. You know, if you are a worrier, somebody just telling you not to worry doesn't really help, does it? It doesn't. And Jesus, what is important? Jesus is teaching here. This is more than just another mindfulness technique. I'm not completely down on mindfulness techniques. I think they have their place. But that Jesus' teaching goes far deeper than this. This is not just about the power of positive thinking. The basis of Jesus' exhortation is not that we're trying to find inside ourselves some inner resource or strength that we might be able to find in order to help ourselves out. The basis of Jesus' exhortation is that we have a Father in heaven who is looking after us. And when we find ourselves worrying, this is the truth we should be mindful of. This is what we should concentrate on. And I like that Jesus acknowledges here that there will be trouble. Jesus isn't telling us glibly never to be concerned about anything. Because we do have concerns in this life. And there are some things where you think, well, if you're not concerned about that, there must be something wrong with you. You know, imagine someone, and maybe this is a bit too close for home for some of you. Imagine someone who's just lost their job. Imagine that person with a family to support. Imagine someone who's just discovered their spouse has cancer. It would surely be insensitive to say to that person, what are you worried about? It'll all be fine. That would be insensitive, wouldn't it? And Jesus is the preacher. Remember, he's a preacher. He's punching his message home. He's not going to say everything that could be said, because if he did that, it'd just be a load of qualifications and we wouldn't get any point from it. We can't do that as preachers. We've got to punch our message home. Jesus, the preacher, doesn't want to water down the effect with 1,000 qualifications, but he is saying, whatever your circumstance, trust in God's provision for your life. Don't think you have to hoard enough to cover every eventuality. Focus instead on pursuing the kingdom. That's verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Focus on pursuing Christ's way, his righteousness, more than anything else. Seek first his kingdom. And when that is our focus, God will take care of all of our personal needs, our basic needs. If you want to go the other way, if you're intent on serving the other master, if you're focused on storing up earthly treasures, the irony is that rather than feeling safer, you'll have very real reasons to worry. That's the irony. Because those things don't last. Those things cannot be relied upon. They don't deliver. So why would you? Why would you go that way? Why would you do that? That's the path of self-destruction. Makes no sense. But yes, there will be concerns in our lives. There will be troubles. There will be times when resources seem very, very stretched. There will be times when we don't know how things are going to play out. Remember, this is not only Jesus the preacher speaking, this is Jesus who will be the crucified. You talk about trouble? Nobody knows the trouble he's seen. Jesus. He knew trouble, didn't he? He didn't float through life with, you know, everything was fine and every worry disappeared just in a blink of an eye. Look at the trouble he saw. Even though he trusted the Father, was his trust misplaced? Yes, his Father allowed him to die. His Father planned his death, actually. Was Jesus' trust in his Father misplaced? Well, his Father also planned and delivered by raising him up from the grave, didn't he? So yes, he knew trouble, and so will we. But to trust in the midst of trouble, that way we don't end up consumed by worry and anxiety. We said Jesus wasn't giving us an excuse for laziness. Neither is he letting us off the hook here of our own responsibility to provide for others. We've had that earlier, haven't we, about giving. When you give, not if you feel you might like to give, when you give to the needy. Perhaps you ask, you know, Jesus' words here, do not worry, do they apply to believers in areas of famine? Believers starving to death because they cannot get food? Or are you telling me that Christians, everyone else has starved to death in those situations, but the Christians didn't starve to death? That seems unlikely, doesn't it? Surely they have. That's a really, really hard question. That troubles me. I don't know the answer to that. Now, of course, we would say, yes, even for believers, even though they die, their lives are still ultimately provided for. Of course they are. That's absolutely true. Their lives are still safe in Christ. And that's not nothing, is it? That's everything. But still, that is an unsettling thought, a difficult question. But for those of us this morning who are comfortably off and who are not starving to death, woe betide us if we use these verses to dodge our responsibility to share what God has given us. with people who are in need. You know, there is deep truth in Gandhi's observation that the world has enough for everyone's need, but not enough for everyone's greed. Or if you want that thought put slightly differently from a Christian, here's John Stott. The most basic cause of hunger is not an inadequate divine provision, but an inequitable human distribution. That still remains the case. The fact that God feeds and clothes his children does not exempt us from being the agents through whom he does it. Let's not wriggle out of that one. Absolutely right. We all know what worry is, don't we? How much, and we know how much we're prone to it. Don't worry, it's easier said than done. I could regale you with endless stories of God's provision in remarkable ways for his people. Here's a very, very famous one. Do you know who that is? George Muller. Thank you, Tom. Yes. George Muller. So he had an orphanage in Bristol, and in this orphanage, one morning, there were the children, breakfast time, there was nothing in the larder, and there was no money, and the children were standing, waiting for their breakfast. And so Muller prayed. He said, he gave thanks, as he always would. He prayed, "Dear Father, we thank thee for what thou art going to give us to eat." And then there was a knock at the door. It was the baker. "Mr. Muller," he said, "I couldn't sleep last night. Somehow I felt you needed bread and the Lord wanted me to send you some. So I got up at 2 a.m. and baked some fresh bread and have brought it." No sooner had he left when there was a second knock at the door. It was the milkman. His milk cart had broken down right in front of the orphanage, and he wanted to give the children his cans of fresh milk so that he could repair his wagon. Now, I know that many of us here will have our own little stories, won't we? We will, we do. They may not be quite as dramatic as that. We have our own stories of how God has provided for us, because this is one of the glorious benefits of being a follower of Jesus, a child of God. And that we need not, we should not, we consume with worry over these basic needs of life. And that lack of worry frees us up. It frees us up not for a life of ease and inactivity. It frees us up to pursue his kingdom above all else. And this is why a believer can make a decision to give away money really sacrificially. When others might think they're just being foolish, that this person can't afford to give away money like that. This is why a believer can choose not to pursue a certain promotion, because they'd rather have less stress or less time at work and more time and opportunity to concentrate on serving God elsewhere, even though that means their family is not going on to the next level of income. This is why believers might step away from a career altogether to go and serve the Lord on the mission field somewhere here or overseas. This is why. Now, perhaps God is calling some people here to step out in all kinds of exciting ways. I don't know. It might be something here about what you volunteer for. It might be a career change. It might be to step onto the mission field. I don't know. And maybe the Lord has been just nagging at you or prompting you to start thinking about this, and in the back of your mind you're thinking, well, hold on, where's the money going to come from? Maybe it is a very specific call to mission. If that's you, hear God's word to you this morning. Here it is. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. They will. The things you need, not the things you think you might want, but the things, or even the things you think you might need, but the things God knows you need. And if you're not yet following the Lord wholeheartedly, maybe that's because you want to carry on experiencing more of the things the world treasures, and you think that by following Jesus you'll lose the chance to do that. Maybe because you just want to surrender control. Maybe just because you're drifting with your life. Friends, why would you go that way? Remember Roy, Crypto Roy. He said this, I had invested everything in crypto. Here's the challenge. What are you investing in? What are we investing our lives in? Look at Jesus' words last week and this. Those treasures do not satisfy. They don't even last. Moth and rust, moth and vermin. Turn to him instead. Let the Lord provide for you. In the biggest, most glorious way, by giving you life, by giving you new life in Christ. And then as you pursue his kingdom above everything else, watch as he provides you with everything you'll ever need. That's his promise. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for all that you've provided for us. We are truly rich in so many ways. But Lord, those of us for whom you've brought us to yourself, you've given us faith to believe in Christ, we have the riches of Christ lavished on us. And that is amazing. We thank you so much for that. We thank you that you will go on providing for us. Lord, help us to trust you. Lord, help us to look up and trust you. And for those people who have a particular challenge in this direction today, Lord, just by your Spirit, comfort, strengthen, encourage, and move them forward in you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.